NAPZT listening. Nothing heard. NAPZT clear.
FACTK monitoring. FACTK monitoring.
Node 5 6 7 7 5 1. Node 5 8 3 4 1 0. Transceive.
KFA GTK monitoring. KFA GTK monitoring. GTK monitoring. KFA GTK. KFA GTK monitoring. KFA GTK monitoring.
This is KEAFJWM monitoring.
KEAFJWM TFE, GTK, monitoring. KFE, GTK, monitoring. KE8FJW, I'm monitoring. KF8GTK, monitoring. KF8GTK, monitoring. KFE, GTK, monitoring.
Kilo, South Patty, Hotel Delta India, radio check.
KFE, GTK, monitoring. KF8GTK, monitoring. KF8GTK, monitoring. KF8GTK, monitoring. Accidental Kachunk, this is KF8GTK, monitoring. KF8GTK, monitoring. KF8GTK, monitoring.
W8VPC. Yeah, the KF8 station that was identifying a little while ago. Are you still listening? W8VPC.
KF8GTK, monitoring.
KF8GTK, W8VPC. Name here is Mike.
Yeah, roger that, Mike. Name here is Finn, Foxtrot, India, November. John in Petoskey right now.
Okay, Finn. Yeah, I've been listening for a while. I just wasn't able to get to a radio until now. So you're up there camping, I hear?
Yeah, I'm up in the Petoskey area until 11 o'clock-ish tomorrow, and then parents are probably going to stay and swim for a bit, so probably leaving around 2 or 3.
Yeah, okay. What's your home QTH? I think I heard Lansing.
Yeah, QTH here is East Lansing, Michigan, which is east of Lansing in Michigan, as I like to say.
Well, I'm kind of familiar with East Lansing, Okemos. Do you know where Hagedorn Road is?
Yeah, I live basically just off that street. Okemos has a really good repeater now. They got it 400 feet off the air, and it covers about 50 miles.
Yeah, well, the guy that used to have my call sign was my uncle. His name was Ben Hassel, and his call sign was Whiskey 8 Victor Papa Charlie, and he's one of two ham operators that got me hooked on ham radio back when I was a kid. And Ben lived on Hagedorn Road, and last I checked, I thought the tower was still there, but it might be gone by now. He's passed away several years ago. But across the road was the MSU farm.
Yeah, I'm not on that side of Hagedorn. But I don't know if you're talking about the tower in a yard or something, or the KART tower. That's where the repeater is right now.
No, he had a, he was an extra class ham, and he was also a World War II veteran, radio officer on a ship. And I got my novice in like 1982, and he was my first contact. And I couldn't speed up fast enough for him to decode Morse code. And he couldn't slow down enough for me to decode, so we ended up on the phone talking to each other.
Yeah, roger that. I don't know much CW other than a little bit of my call sign. I know my call sign, CQ, and a few other things. I don't have any HF equipment, just this Baofeng, which I have set up so I can kind of do CW. Yeah, I messed up there a bit. It's kind of hard to do because it's just a button on the side of it.
Yeah, well, back in the day, you had your first level license was novice, and then I had to go down to Federal Building in Detroit and take a test to upgrade. And they dropped that. Now they've dropped Morse code. Well, Morse code has been gone for, 30, 40 years now, at least a requirement. It's still kept alive. But yeah, I heard you were living, you're from East Lansing, and I thought, well, maybe I could have a conversation, and, I have some East Lansing Okemos ties.
Yeah, roger that. CW is definitely a thing that I'm going to try to learn sometime in the next few years. I just got my general a few weeks ago, so I can get on the air once I get a rig.
Yeah, most newcomer hams would start off with Baofeng or, the cheaper radios, and then they'll upgrade to better, more expensive, and then upgrade their license so that they get on HF.
Yeah, my local club, the Michigan State University Amateur Radio Club, they have a few older rigs sitting around that they'll possibly be able to loan off to me if I can get a good antenna set up there. So sometime in the near future, I might borrow, like, older YAFU rigs. I think they'll still will do quite the job for me.
Yeah, speaking of Michigan State University, there's a young man that showed up with his mom at the Traverse City Club one year. We were having our committee meeting, and he showed up. His first name is Brennan. Got his ham license, and I think I saw on QRZ that he's involved with the Michigan State University Ham Radio Club.
Yeah, did you say that name was Brennan?
Yeah, his first, and I don't remember his call sign.
Yeah, would that be KE8JVZ?
Well, let's see. Yep, that's him.
Yeah, he's online in our Discord page right now.
Okay. So, yeah, well, it's been a while. I mean, I was one of the ham operators in that meeting, and I wanted to try to keep track, because they usually get their license and disappear.
Yeah, I'm trying to do complete opposite of that. People in the MSU club kind of just saw me one day, and then I got my license like 2 weeks later, and now they know me as the guy who is always on the repeater monitoring, because I have handhelds charging all over the house, just tuned onto the MSU repeater, so literally any time I'm in the house and I hear a call out, I'll respond to it, so I've been a few first contacts so far.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm actually using a Motorola handheld sitting in the basement, and my QTH is Royal Oak. I have an All-Star node that's linked up to the linked repeater network up north. I used to live up north, so I sort of am trying to keep ties with everybody up north. I used to live in Bel Air, and I used to live in Central Lake, and moved back down here to take care of my mom, and maybe someday I'll move back up north.
Yeah, I've been trying to do a bit of All-Star stuff with the MSU repeater recently. It's an unlocked machine, just like the one I'm on right now, so in theory I could connect up MSU repeater to this one right now, but I've been told it's not the best practice to just connect random repeaters up to star nodes, so I'm probably not going to be doing that.
Yeah, well, what you would want to do is get permission first, because what will happen is you might end up in a loop where there's another repeater or node, and you get into a loop, and it causes problems. especially because this repeater network is used for Skywarn. I don't like the idea of somebody like me down here in Royal Oak in the Detroit area participating, but I would. But since, you know, nothing's happening down here and it's rocking and rolling up there, I'll disconnect.
Yeah, I don't think linked systems would be the best for that either. My local repeater system is Lansing Civil Defense Association. They have a few of their repeaters. They have them on basically all of the technician bands except for 10 meter. But one of their repeaters, 3-9, is, I think I told you about this, it's like 400 feet off the ground, and that's our Skywarn main repeater, so you can get into that repeater on almost anything.
Yeah, we have some repeaters in the Detroit area that are up high. Some of them are, like, I have a DMR repeater that's basically a garage repeater, you know, whopping 2 mile range right now. But yeah, the ones up north, they're on towers, and that's probably not an option for me, my own stuff. But another thing, had I gotten on, made a contact with you earlier, one of the ham radio groups maintains the radio room on the Icebreaker Mackinac Museum in Mackinac City.
Yeah, I've never heard that. Have you heard of, I think it's SVX Link for repeater software? Does a native Echolink client, and apparently works really well for a lot of really bad setups. So when I build my first repeater, probably in a few days, with just some Raspberry Pis and cheap Baofengs and horrible ideas, that's probably what I'm going to be using.
Oh, yeah, I've had SVX Link when I lived in Central Lake. I was running a PC into a Motorola dispatch console, and I was linking and unlinking via Echolink. AllStar does have an Echolink module, so if you decide you want to try AllStar, enable the Echolink module.
Yeah, AllStar was the thing I was trying for when I first made this project idea a few months ago, so I bought the cheapest sound card I could find on Amazon, which was not a CM108 chip, so I spent 3 hours debugging it, and it turns out that it was the sound card causing every single issue. So I kind of gave up on that one, and since I don't want to buy anything new, I'm not even going to do cans for duplexing. I'm just going to have the transmitter and receiver far apart from each other, network linked into each other.
Oh, that's one way to do it. Just make sure you got enough separation between the two radials. And if you use UHF 440, 70 centimeters, you don't need to separate them as far as 2 meters. I actually, 40 years ago, plus or minus a few years, I was a assistant scoutmaster in a scout troop, and I set up a 220 repeater using two mobile radios. And when we went to summer camp, I had two flagpoles, no duplexer, two flagpoles with two antennas, and put the troop flag on one and the American flag on the other and separated them, and we had our own 220 repeater, and one of the kids in the scout troop had his novice, so we could communicate back and forth.
Yeah, that's actually basically the plan for my repeater.
Not right now.
So it's hopefully going to be on 442.680. Found that frequency and sound, and it's not in use by anything nearby. So for 5 watts, I think it'll cover pretty good distance. And it's going to hopefully be about 1.6 miles apart if I can secure the location that I want to put the transmitter on.
Yeah, well, that would be safer, better. It's like here, you know, 440 is starting to jam up with a lot of All-Star nodes and Clear nodes and Echolink nodes and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, that's part of amateur radio is to experiment. And if it doesn't work, you take it apart and rework it and try another way.
Yeah, idea for this is a transmitter antenna, or TX. Probably going to be a vertical and mounted on top of the bleachers at my school. I've already gotten the okay to start a club up at the school, so I feel like this is the next part and probably pretty good chance of doing that because it's not on a rooftop, so less security stuff and people watching required. So I think that would be a pretty good place for a transmitter, and receive is just going to probably be a jungle antenna hung from the top of like 40-foot tree in my yard, so should get decent range.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, well, that's good. I'm glad you're starting a ham radio club at the school. There used to be one. Quite a few schools around here used to have ham radio clubs, and they used to have towers with HF beams on them, and some of the high schools amateur radio clubs would have swaps, and it was pretty big, but not anymore. Now, the scout camp, or former scout camp in Traverse City, the ham radio club in Traverse City, built a clubhouse like a ham shack, and they donated ham radio equipment, and they also came out to the kids and taught them ham radio, and quite possibly even issued tested them, got their license. And so that was pretty cool. course, the property was sold. I don't think the building's there anymore. And I don't think the equipment's there anymore either.
Yeah, the MSU Club is also doing a pretty cool thing with their call to students. They have this big participation event where a few thousand college students get out there. Club advisors and stuff put out tables with showing off what the club's all about. So we had a massive 2-40-meter vertical just at the park there as a giant advertisement thing. So we had a lot of people come over there, check out what's up, and since there were so many people there, we weren't actually transmitting anything, but we were listening on FT8 to show them how far we can receive signals from. So we got about 20 new members joining our Discord page, and later this month, they're going to be doing this event where they get everyone in the classroom, teach the entire extension course in a day, and then give them testing afterwards. So they call it the Tech in a Day class.
Yeah, WAVPC, yeah, they've done that up north. I think down Benzie County had a couple of sessions where they did tech in a day. And I think the group that maintains the radial room on the icebreaker Mackinac, they're a OXCOM public safety, you know, Aries Rafies Emergency Communications Group, and they had a technician in the day class too. That's like cramming. I don't know how successful they were, but they got quite a few people up north into ham radio.
Yeah, we're hopefully going to have a lot more people on our repeaters. They're somewhat dead now. I've been like the newest ham in a few years joining the club, so they thought this year would be a great year to get a lot of new members, so we're hopefully going to have a lot of new technicians in our area. I took my technician in person 6 months ago or so, I guess. Drove down 40 miles or so to the Livingston Amateur Radio Club in Livingston County. Took it there. And then for my general, I just took that online because one of the Discord pages I was in was giving free exams and free license upgrades to anyone under 18. So I just took that online, failed the first time, and then passed second time with a 94.
Well, that's pretty good. Congratulations on the upgrading to general. Yeah, see, now you can, next thing you do is look for an HF rig and, you know, string antennas and get on HF.
Yeah, I'm currently trying to decide between doing an NFED half-wave or just a vertical. I'm thinking NFED half-wave would be better for a permanent setup, and then but with that one, I can't just like take it down and go to a park without having a ton of more setup to do. So I'm thinking just a vertical out in the yard or both.
Yeah, do you do a lot of camping? Because if you do, you know, a portable, you know, those antennas that sit on tripods might work if you do a lot of camping.
Yeah, that's what we had at the participation event. Not a super big camper, but we do this yearly trip out to Petoskey, which is what we're on right now for Labor Day weekend. Yeah. So I've been at Petoskey State Park for the last, like, 3 days or so. So I could have gotten a lot of contacts on this. But the remote rig I have access to doesn't count because all equipment is not on site.
Yeah, I did look into remote HF. I thought that would be pretty neat. Well, sounds like you'll be packing up and going home tomorrow, which means you and a million other people would be driving south on I-75 when I used to come down on holidays and birthdays. I would be laughing going up north on a Sunday or coming down south on a Friday, looking at the solid wall of cars. now I live down here, and I have to make a couple of trips up north. So, and now that I'm retired, I can leave Friday and come home Monday.
Yeah, roger that. This is KS8. I think it's a bad sign that my radio is about to die, and I charged it 2 hours ago all the way to full. I'm going to drop my power down to 2 watts and hope I can get in. I'm on 10 watts right now.
And I bet it's getting kind of warm, too.
Okay, I'm on 2 watts now. Hope this doesn't sound that bad. But it is not that warm, actually. It's pretty cold outside, and I'm walking around, so air cooling.
Yep, your signal's just fine. I couldn't tell the difference, so. Oh, well, I'm going to let you go. Yeah, it's nice talking to you, and hope your trip back home is safe and sound, and everything's fine. WAVPC.
W8VPC, Kilo Foxtrot 3, Golf Tango Kilo, 7-3, I'll be monitoring.
KS8, HDI, listening.
KS8, HDI, I think. This is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Golf Tango Kilo, as in good to know.
Yeah, but I don't know this repeater. I've been moving around the PL tones, and I think I got you, 5E. I'm at Garfield Township. What's your location?
Roger that. You're getting in just fine. I'm currently in Petoskey State Park in Petoskey, Michigan. So this repeater is internet linked up to a bunch of other ones in some big network. I don't exactly know what to call them, a visiting station. But, yeah, you're sounding good.
Hey, I appreciate the report. I was scanning and I caught you guys like at 5 different repeaters. And I was like, I don't even know how that's possible. I'm a new ham myself. And I was like, wow, this is crazy. But you're going to stay on for a little bit, I'm going to try to lower my wattage and see if I can come in good.
Yeah, roger that. Go ahead. I'm on 2 watts right now, going about 3 miles into the repeater through forest. Your mic is also a little bit over-deviated, so you might want to step away from the microphone a little bit so it's distorted a bit less. But go ahead lowering your power.
Okay, I stepped away from the mic, and I lowered the power by 1. I'm at mid-power now. I'll check the wattage here. I'm not looking at the meter.
Okay, that did make a noticeable difference. There's a little bit of static in the background, so it's still giving you about a 5.7 on that.
Okay, excellent. Was it by difference either better or worse?
That degraded your quality just a little bit. There's some static and popping in the background, but I can still completely copy.
Okay, I'm going to drop down 1 and call you back. Okay, this is at 10 watts here. 10 watts, maybe 9 watts. How's this coming in?
Again, noticeably worse. Some static in the background. Can still completely hear you, though.
Okay, excellent. I'm going to drop down 1 more to my low, and I'll call you back, and you let me know. Well, I'm changing my mic position now, so I don't know if this makes a difference or not. Okay, this is my lowest setting. This should be about 5 watts here. Can you copy that?
Yeah, copy. Quite a bit of static there, but I can still make out what you're saying. Another thing is, if you have a All-Star compatible like app on your phone, such as your computer phone, you can connect into this repeater network and listen to what your signal sounds like, which is pretty helpful.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not able to do that. I have no cell service at my location.
Yep, amateur radio saves the day once again.
Can you come back with that? Copy.
Yeah, amateur radio saves the day once again. Is my signal quality dropping? I'm currently moving around with the handheld, so I can increase my power if you want.
No, absolutely not. I mean, you're coming in loud and clear. I mean, you're really clear. I've been following your conversations for a while now. I caught you last night, actually. I recognize your voice.
Yeah, roger that. I'm pretty close to this repeater on 2 watts right now, so. Receiving, I get a little bit of static from just the repeater itself, but I guess transmit is pretty good on this radio. It's a Baofeng handheld with a Nagoya antenna on it.
Yeah, I'm on a ICOM 2300H mobile unit, and I have a Baofeng FT8. It's FA-HP Pro, and I might hook it up to this if you're going to be around for a while, and just to try it out.
Yeah, that is actually the exact radio I'm running right now. It's a very good radio.
Yep, I'm just running a flower pot antenna right now that I set up. I probably got it about 25 foot in the air at home in the Detroit area. I got it about 30 foot up. And I get out about, I think about 30 miles on some repeaters. And Stasky, that's pretty far for me. I got to try to figure out what that is right now.
Yeah, we're not currently RF linking. We're over internet. I'm on the 145.190 repeater in my location, so that's just going over internet linking.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I don't understand what that means. You're on a HT RF into a repeater, are you not?
That is correct. So I'm going into a repeater about 2 miles away from me. This repeater is using a program called AllStarLink that it's running that essentially uses the internet to send audio from one repeater out to all the other repeaters connected. So it's technically just voice over IP, just like a phone call would be, where I talk into this repeater, the repeater sends information to other repeaters, which then retransmit what I say. So you can get really far with what you're saying on, like, 4 repeaters at once.
Okay, I copy. I understand that. So that's why he was at multiple repeaters. But my frequency is going out right now to 146.240. So I don't know where that repeater is. But I'm directly communicating with that repeater. And it's linking to you.
Yes, that is correct. Your repeater is internet linked over to mine. I'm going to switch to my other handheld real quick with the Baofeng UV5R Mini. My current one is battery is starting to die. UFA-GCK, I'm on my other handheld now.
Okay, excellent. You're just as clear as you were. And this is Kilo Foxtrot 8
HDI. Is that Hotel Charlie India? Yeah.
Hey, you weren't very clear there at all. You broke up pretty good. I couldn't make out much.
Yeah. Kilo Foxtrot 8 Golf Tango Kilo. Is the end of your call sign Hotel Charlie India?
Let me do it slow here. It's Kilo Foxtrot 8, Hotel Delta India. Do you copy that okay?
Yep, copy. Kilo Fox 2, Hotel Delta Kilo.
Correct. You know, you were coming in a lot better earlier, even when I was listening to you without talking to you directly. You're just not as good as it was before, but you're still good.
Yeah, I'm on a stalking kind of right now. Let me switch that over to my good one. Okay, this should sound a little bit better now.
That is 100% better. That's crystal clear there.
Yeah, and that right there is how $20 can make an insane difference in your radio performance. It's a $20 antenna off of Amazon, and it just gives you so much better audio quality.
I think I heard last night you were talking, and you got the same aftermarket antenna for your Bullfing that I do. And mine works pretty decent, but I hooked it up to a magnetic mount earlier today, and it was about the same.
Yeah, I'm on the Nagoya NA771 right now.
Yeah, 10-4, copy that. Same antenna. I heard you say that last night.
Yeah, one other word of advice is 10-4 is more of a thing from movies and or citizen band radios. So a more hammy way of saying that is QSL or confirm. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not quite up on the Q codes yet. I'm old enough that I grew up on CDs, and we 10-4 it all the time, so. That's the way my brain is generating stuff right now, so I'll try to catch up with the times.
Yeah, half the Q codes you don't really need to learn if you're just on repeaters. It mostly comes into play when you get onto HF radio, so. You might want to learn that if you're a technician and looking to get into HF. It's just one more thing that you don't need to learn when you get your rig.
Yeah, definitely. I'm a new here. I'm still learning a lot, and that's my thing. I want to do POTA big time, and I want to get into HF.
Could you repeat that again? My mom was talking.
Yeah, no, I said that's the thing I really want to do. I'm interested in POTA big time. That really interests me. And Q-codes, I'll learn it right now. Just working on a lot of stuff. It's a lot of stuff to kick into. I've been working on my Morse code right now. I got the alphabet down, but I can't transmit it worth a crap. So I gotta tune in. I gotta figure out how to listen to it. That's the hard part.
Yeah, I don't know much more than my call sign and CQ, so I can't really copy anything on Morse code either. But I was going to say something. I don't remember. Oh, yeah. You can step on the repeater's tail. You don't need to wait for it to finish transmitting. So as soon as you hear the little Roger beep that the repeater makes, you can just hit your push to talk and interrupt it.
Okay, let's practice that because I've been holding on there till my signal goes away. So I'm gonna practice that from now on here and see how that works.
Yeah. So as soon as you hear the little static or if you hear the little repeater beep noise, you can just interrupt that there. It's just not good practice to do that when you're joining a net.
All right. So how's that? Is that quick enough?
It's a little bit slow, but it'll work.
Alright, how's that? Is that faster?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, as soon as I hear the beep, I heard the beep, and I click back on, but I'm not a fast talker anyway. I got a really slow brain.
Yeah, that's one more thing you can do right there. So you don't technically need to do that. A lot of people leave a pretty big gap in that, so if there's any stations trying to break in or they want to join the conversation, add something, and said they'd be here for them to join in.
Yeah, I had a hard time getting into the East Coast repeater because when they have check-ins, there's like, it just gets loaded up with people. And I always wait to hit my mic. I push the talk button until it's clear, my radio's clear, so I never got in there yet.
Yeah, I just don't even do nets on East Coast Reflector. I just do rag chewing whenever there's not a net. So that's another thing you might need to want to practice on. So just joining nets on East Coast Reflector, it's fine to step on top of other people, which is what you need to do for Parks on the Air, because if you have a pileup, whoever's answering Parks on the Air, they'll just go based on the loudest signal they hear. So if you wait for other people to finish, they'll hear someone before you. So second they hear, second you hear QRZ, you just say your call out. Sometimes phonetically you don't really need to, but like if I go Kilo Fox Charlie, Golf Tango Kilo, they'll respond GTK, go ahead. So then you can sign your call there, and then you can get in.
Yeah, I got a lot to learn. I'm still learning, but I got next Saturday, I'm going out with the Livonia Ham Club at the park, and they're going to work on some 10-meter stuff and kind of...
Yeah, one more thing you might want to look on is if you have a band chart next to you, technicians actually do have a little space on 10 meters where they can do sideband, and you have Morse code on 40 meters, 20 meters, and... I think 10 meters, too. I might be wrong on that. I don't have one in front of me.
Yeah, I think if I'm thinking correctly, I think I got, 200 kilohertz on 10 meter. I think they pretty much, the radios I've been looking at, that's pretty much the range. And you can upgrade if you want on the radio, which obviously I wouldn't need to do.
Yeah, that's basically the thing. If you're a technician, you don't really do much on HF. Once you get your general, then you're golden for HF. Extra, you don't really need unless you want just that little extra bit of privileges there. I'm a pretty new general licensee, so one thing you do gotta be careful is you gotta watch if you're in lower sideband or upper sideband, because if you're on, 28.175, if you're on that frequency, but you're using lower sidebands, it'll go 3 kilohertz below that into the amateur extras and generals territory there. So technically, even if your radio says you're in equal spot there, you're not. So you just got to be careful if you're in lower sideband or upper sideband. So lower is basically only used in 40 meters and below, and then upper sideband is everywhere else.
Yeah, copy that. I thought if I get a 10-meter radio like I've been looking at, I'll set up the parameters so it won't go outside of that range at all that I'm legal on. And I'd like to make some antennas and figure it out. And I'm really interested in experimenting with antennas. Like I said, I got a flower popcorn right now, and it's about, I think, 25 foot high is what I would call it. And I'm pretty impressed with it. I mean, it's been doing pretty good. Even though I purchased a Comet, something 6 Comet 2-meter antenna from DX Engineering, I haven't hooked it up yet. I'm going to try to hook it up tomorrow. It's supposed to have a successful gate on it, and I'm really interested in how that's going to work out.
Yeah, roger that. This Nagoya right here is the only antenna I've ever bought. My current shack, which is down in East Lansing, Michigan, is a homemade dipole antenna I made out of coat hangers, and it's using TV cable coax, which is 75 ohm instead of 50 ohm, so that starts me out at 1.5 to 1 SWR no matter what. So it's not the greatest antenna for being nice to my radios, but it works really well. Late evenings, when there's a little bit of gusting on 2 meters, I've gotten into repeaters 40 miles away on 10 watts on this thing.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. That's really impressive. Too bad you don't live next door to me. I'd be over your house all the time.
Yeah, basically anything metal, if you have a good tuner, you can make it into an antenna. There's one radio called the ZGU, I think, G90, which is a 25-watt HF rig. It'll cover 6 meters through, I think, 40. And that thing is known for having the most insane tuner of any radio. So if you give it, like, an 8-to-1 SWR antenna, or just, like, something not even an antenna, it can tune that into 1-to-1. Like, I know a guy that tuned his antenna jack on the back of his radio, and it was fine with that. It's just not the greatest. You want, ideally, the best antenna you can get, but if you're just doing dual-band stuff, you're kind of limited on that. It'll still work great, though. Just tuned antennas are always best for whatever band you're working on.
What do you mean by tune? Like, you tune it yourself, and you talk about you have an antenna tuner hooked up to your radio, an external tuner, or you just tune your antenna and then hook it up?
So, length of wire on the actual antenna determines how good the antenna is resonant on for your frequency. So, for 2 meters, you need, for the simplest possible antenna, a dipole. You need 19.3 inches of wire going straight up, and then for grounding, 19.3 inches straight down. And that length of wire is approximately 1/4 the length of the actual radio wave, so it resonates really well, and you'll get really good performance on that. But if you make, like, 30 inches of wire, for example, and put that on it, it's not super resonant for that frequency, so that increases your SWR. So a tuned antenna is one cut directly to the length that it will be the best on for whatever frequency you're trying to use. So on 20 meters, for example, if you make, like, 14 megahertz, if you can measure out whatever length of wire that is, it'll work great on 40 meters. Or, sorry, 20 meters, but if you put that onto 40 meters, which is a totally different frequency, it'll perform less good. So you can use a tuner, which basically just makes your radio think that it's a good antenna, so it doesn't damage the radio, but your performance will always be the same on the antenna, whether it's tuned or not.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I understand that. I understand what a tuner does. I was just, because when I made my flower pot, I made it to specs. You know, you could probably Google, you probably see the same video I did. I'm making a 2 meter half-wave flower pot antenna. But when I kept trimming it back and trimming it back and trimming it back until I got the perfect SWR, I mean, I was way out of specs on that sucker. And that's the same antenna I use right now. I mean, it varies so far from the specs. So, I don't know if it's my radio, my gear, I mean, that obviously must mean something.
Yeah, how are you grounding that antenna?
No, there's zero ground. It's just a portable antenna I just stick up on some pipes and clamp it to the eaves right now.
Not like the form of lightning grounding, like RF ground. So you need the active element on an antenna, which I don't think this is the right terminology for it, but that's where the center pin of the coax cable comes out, and then the little metal sleeving around the coax, that needs to be grounded to the antenna to get you a good SWR. So center pin goes to whatever thing probably sticks up, and then grounding is what usually sticks down on a dipole, but it might be something else. I don't know what a flower pot antenna really looks like.
It's just a piece of coax cable, and it's trimmed at the top at spec, and then it's the lower spec is the metal part that goes around the shielding. I think the shielding, and then it's just got like 9 wraps for a coil on my pipe, and then that's it. It's 40 foot of coax. In the air, taped to a pipe. That's all I got. Let's go taped to a pipe.
I mean, yeah, if you get good SWR on it and you can get decent range. How far are you going into the repeater? I think you said you got it in on it on 10 watts and it was pretty thick. How far are you going to the repeater?
I honestly honestly had no idea what repeater this is. I just lucked out with a PL tone. But at home, I get at least 30 miles to a couple of repeaters. I get about four or five repeaters so far at home.
Yeah, if you get into repeaters 30 miles away from you, your antenna's great.
Yeah, that's what everybody tells me. I mean, they're pretty shocked, actually, but they say it's because I got it up so high there. At home, I got it up about 30 foot. I'm only 25 foot here.
Still better than my setup. Mine's on a metal tripod, which already detunes it more than the horrible antenna it is itself. And that's just on my roof right now, so give or take 10 feet.
You sound like the type of guy that can make a better flower pot than me. Maybe you should try it out. You seem like the type of guy who would love to make one.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely look into that. My first ever antenna build was just sticking a Nagoya up on the end of a PVC pipe and then draping a wire down to ground it. So I have some experience using PVC pipes to make horrible antenna mounts, so I might actually do that.
Well, what I happen to have what do I got? I got about, I made a flower pot out of about a 6 foot piece of PVC I had. Then I put it on a 8 foot piece of PVC I had and connected together. Then I put it on a old tree saw that was extendable fiberglass. And that's what I got. So I can extend it about 8 foot beyond that. Then I just clamp it up to a post I got at home. It seems to work really good. I'm really impressed with it. I can't wait to get my Comet up in the air. Maybe tomorrow with the 6 dB gain on it. And it should obviously work better.
Yeah, the default antennas that are already tuned from the factory, those usually perform better than anything handmade, but it really depends on how you're mounting it, how high you're mounting it, how it's grounded, what kind of coax you're using. There's just so many variables on things, but if you know the actual antenna is good, if it's a Comet one, it's probably good, so antenna will probably perform a little bit better than your current one, but I don't really know the setup that much.
Well, my plan is with my Comet, I'm going to test it on a pole, on a semi-setup, just like I got with this flower pot. And then I'm going to get some chimney straps and strap to the chimney and run a ground. And maybe you know this, because you seem really smart. I was going to run a lightning ground down to a ground rod and also a static ground. And I'm assuming that both will be better. And maybe you got an answer for that.
I do not have an answer for that. I'm not really that much of a safety kind of guy, so all of my antennas are ungrounded right now. My call sign is KF8GTK, just to make the FCC happy, and can we leave a little pause here, see if any stations want to break in for any reason?
KF8HDI.
Okay, KF8GTK, nothing heard there. That's my current antenna set up there. When I do get my HF rig, probably a few weeks or so, I'm probably going to be doing an NFED half wave or just a vertical. I really haven't decided on what kind of antenna I'm doing, but I've narrowed it down to those two.
Yeah, I haven't decided at all on my HF antenna. I'm definitely going to start with the homemade one because I already got this one worked out pretty well. So, but I've been thinking about, since I'm going to mount my 2-meter antenna on my chimney, I might double back and go ahead and buy one for HF to mount so I can mount one time instead of twice.
Yeah, one of my good friends that does POTA way too often, NT0Y, his name's Jay, his POTA setup is essentially a telescoping antenna, so the way he tunes it is he just pushes it up to roughly about the length of it and then just makes it slightly shorter or slightly taller until he gets 1-to-1 SWR with no tuning on it so he can get maximum performance on there. He does Morse code at like 25 words a minute. He's very good at that. I think he activated his 100th spark the other day.
Holy cow, I mean, that's pretty amazing, actually. I've been thinking about building some kind of telescope and thing that would go up 50 foot, but I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet, but I just worried about, I'm going to get my shack hooked up for the winter time, because right now I just go out of my garage, and when it gets cold, I don't want to be in the garage, I want to be in the home shop.
Yeah, I'm going to let you go in just a little bit, so if you want to test out your handheld on this repeater, now would be the time to do that.
All right, excellent. Thanks. Give me 30 seconds or so to hook it up.
All right, KF8, GTK, standing by. KF8, GTK, I'm on the train. Last KF8 station, I'm not getting you at all.
Yeah, that's my bad. I heard you coming in. I'm trying to figure out how to get the PL tone on this radio. I've only done it a couple times.
Yeah, I have the same radio as you. So you go into, I think it's program channel, and then option number 6 of TXCTCSS, and then you can just find the PL tone in the list there. So that's options, and then hit your 5 button for program channel, and then option number 6 in there is TXCTCSS.
Node 5677752 connected to node 583410.
Okay, I'm in program channel. Is that where I need to go, right?
Node
program
five,
channel, and then option
six,
number 6
seven,
to be
TX connected to node 5834 10.
Yeah, I'm there, and I clicked on 103.5 and hit OK, and the C doesn't come up on the radio.
Yeah, I'm assuming you're in VFO mode or frequency mode. Just double check you're on TX CTCSS. That's Tango X-ray CTCSS, not RX. The RX one is for receiving CTCSS.
Yeah, I'm not in RX. I already made that mistake before, so I don't have to do that anymore.
I don't know if my radio does that thing where it doesn't show the C on there. I think that might be something else. Let me just double check that real quick. I do have the C, so I don't really know. I just give it a shot, see if it works. Okay, I heard something there. Repeater triggered, but I did not hear anything. Might just be weak signal, or you might be inside.
Yeah, no, that's not me. I heard it also.
Okay, then. Station that was breaking in there, go ahead. Well, guess we'll never know. Did you get that option put in?
No, I go in there, I hit the 103.5 CTCSS, and I don't get to see out there. I don't remember how to do that now.
Yeah, it might already be applied. So I don't really know the configuration you're in right now, but I'm assuming you have offset set correctly too.
Yeah, copy that. I got the offset at 600 kilohertz, negative.
And then below that one, there should be direction. I think you said negative there, so that should be fine. I just screwed into your antenna so you set and did it.
Okay, I'll try it again. I don't think it'll work without that C out there. I think it's got to have that C.
Okay, here's something interesting. On my radio, if I'm in frequency mode and I put on a CCCSS transmit, it does not give the little C. I think that might be for receive CCSS.
I was copying you when I had it plugged in, so I'm going to take a timeout and 73, and I'm going to go back to the manual here and figure that out. I'm pretty sure it's got to have the C. I'll check it out. I'll call you back in a little bit if you're still on. Thanks, I really appreciate it.
Yeah, nice talking to you, man. KS8BK73, I will be clearing frequency now, and this might be the last time you hear from me, unless you internet link yourself up to Michigan State University's repeater. We have an ISS flyover in 15 minutes here, so I'm going to try to get that. 73, KS8GTK, I'll be clear.
Awesome, hope you get the ISS, and this is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Hotel Delta India, clear.